listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz, and our special guest today, straight out of New Jersey, I think, right? You
okay? Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Straight out of New Jersey.
That's right. Anthony Carrion's with us, man. So welcome to the show, Anthony.
Good to be here. I'm excited.
Hey, man. Us too. A few months back, you and I were in Arizona together, right? Watching the fire.
Yep. Hot Arizona.
Yeah, it was hot. And we were out watching a UFC fight together with some mutual friends and whatnot. And I had the pleasure of meeting you, and I'm so glad to get you on the show because I think what you've done with your business and your coaching is real admirable, and I want other people to hear it, people young and old. I know that myself and Wayne got the baby boomer thing. we got that clenched. But definitely want to learn more about your story. So appreciate you coming on the show and taking time. Labor Day 2021 to be with us, man. It means a lot.
My pleasure.
So with that in mind, so tell us a little bit about how you got started into coaching and training and kind of how that led into UFC. Kind of give us a story.
Yeah, so it's, it's a very simple story, to be honest. At one point in life, I had a job, a very simple job. I was lifeguarding summers. I was a little bit overweight, so I had to get into training. I knew I had to get healthy. I need to build muscle because I didn't feel healthy. I felt like I couldn't run. I feel I couldn't do push-ups. I couldn't do anything, really. So I got into fitness took about a year or two to get into the shape I wanted to. And then a brand new gym opened up in my neighborhood. Never seen it before. It was a UFC gym. So that caught my attention instantly. Because I was like, what is a UFC gym? I've never heard of it. I mean, I've heard of the brand, but I've never seen an actual gym that's labeled UFC. Mm-hmm. So I walk in, all fun and games, and I see this octagon. And then here I am, 24, and I'd never seen an octagon in my life. So first thing I wanted to do, take off my shoes, walk in the octagon, and just, I don't know, play like a little kid in there. But basically, after that, I asked if they were hiring, because I needed a job, something simple, sales, front desk representative, something like that. And they weren't hiring, so I was like, okay, fine. So I decided to just become a member first. I decided to become a member, take the classes, learn about the brand, learn about UFC, what it stood for. I decided to experience the kickboxing, experience some boxing, TRX classes, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, all that fun stuff. And then after a couple of months went by, I decided that I'm going to try again to apply because I really enjoy being there. I was there from probably like 4 p.m. until like 10 p.m. at night.
Wow.
Just working out, just vibing with the instructors, seeing just the environment. So I applied, and they were like, we don't have any positions open yet. Just give us some time. So I think my constant being there every day, it led to them to finally hire me as a front desk representative. So from there, it just took off. From there, I took some certification courses in order to become a trainer. And whenever they needed somebody to fill in for a class, I stood in. Given that my first class, I was horrible. Like teaching my classes, teaching clients, it was not, I wasn't the person I am today. My classes weren't structured properly. I didn't know exactly how to structure it. But after years and years of practice and constant taking more classes, I knew how to do it, basically. So that was about 7 years ago. And then today I've evolved more onto one-on-one training, personal training, private coaching, and a little bit of classes. I still do boxing conditioning. I still do jiu-jitsu, but I'm mainly just a one-on-one instructor. And then from there, that's how I grew my little business. Because at first, I didn't have any clients, and now I'm pretty well off with all my clientele. So it was perseverance and just sticking to the job and being there. Because if I just went there for like an hour every day, chances are they're not going to recognize me. They're not going to want me there. I showed them that I had a passion for it, and I showed up every day, and from there it took off.
Makes sense. I'm curious. You said certification training. Was that through UFC or through the UFC gym, or was that a third-party provider that you got those?
Well, yeah, you have ACE, through ACE certifications, okay. And then there was a UFC gym coaching certification about like 2 years after I joined. So we did all that, and then from there on, I just blew up.
Okay. What's the most rewarding part of that you do now? What's the most rewarding aspect, or the couple of most, the two pieces that are the most rewarding for you?
I would say the two would be, one, from a client standpoint, in that they become healthier, they learn new workouts, they get to experience what type of training I do compared to other trainers. Because every time somebody comes in and trains with me, they're like, okay, well, I've had a private trainer before, I've been to gyms, I've been all that, but they haven't experienced the intensity that I give them. There hasn't, like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but basically every time I have a new client, it's not that they can't last through the workout. They finish because I motivate them to finish the workout. But it takes them to a new level of their fitness journey. It's tough. It's not an easy workout. And then at the end of the day, they're like, wow, you know what? You are different. You do bring something different to the table. And I want to continue doing this. So it provides them a new aspect of fitness. As for me, it's rewarding that they get healthier. But at the same time, I value the connections. I value the networking, the connections, the people I meet, the opportunities they give me. And then from there, I've taken off from referrals to business connections I've made to, like, let's say, for example, I know you know my friend Phil Hawes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So from him, if I didn't know Phil, if I didn't train with him to a certain extent, I didn't become friends with him, I would have never met you, to be honest. I would have never been in Arizona. I would have never watched the UFC fight live. So from then on, it's just all the connections I made. It's like incredible.
And I need you to tell Phil that coming on the show isn't as bad as it is. Every time I get this close,
yeah,
he hosts me. I'm like, okay, so can you come on the 20th? Can you come on the 20th? And he goes back. So,
yeah, he's a busy man. I don't know.
I'm just
hoping he doesn't have a fight coming up in about 5 weeks.
That's true. Hopefully he's just not shy.
He could be, but once you get him out of that show, he's good. But yeah, he's got a fight coming in like 5 weeks or so.
Okay.
And so I know he trains crazy. I know he does like 2 to 3 trainings a day.
Yep.
I think the only day he has off might be Sunday, but on Sunday he's probably doing like yoga or something.
Right.
Oh, he's not really off, but you know what I mean. That man is he's got a very strong goal in mind right now.
Yeah, for our listeners, we're talking about Phil Hawes. He's a UFC fighter, has a fantastic record, and he's definitely an up and coming fighter. So no hype. Phil Hall,
yeah.
That's kind of his
no hype.
Got to see him in Senegal there, all the stuff he's doing in Senegal, and some guys there on the beach looked pretty.
Yeah, that was intense. I saw that. So those pictures, those videos, I was like, wow, that's another level.
It is another level. So was he training at your gym, or y'all are friends, or how did you make that connection?
So it was about probably like 5 years ago, I would say. I want to say 5 years ago. I come into work just a normal day, and then I see somebody training by the bags all the way to the corner, minding their own business. And I look at him, I'm like, oh, this is a big guy. He's jacked. He's hitting that bag very well. Hard kicks, beautiful punches. And I look at it because we have to sign waivers. So any new person that comes into the gym has to sign a waiver. So I'm like, all right, let me just look at who's this new person in the gym. So I look, it's Philip Hawes. So that name sounded familiar. I was like, Philip Hawes, Phil Hawes. Like, that just sounds like a UFC fighter type name. I was like, I'm going to Google him, see what comes up. And then I saw he was like a new prospect coming out of New Mexico. He lives in Jersey, but I think his training camp back in the day was in New Mexico. And from there, I was a little bit starstruck. I was like, wow, look at, we have a potential great in our gym. I didn't talk to him that day because at that time I was like very, very shy. And I don't want to mess with any like fighters at that time. So I just let him be. And then a couple months later, I believe his girlfriend came in to apply for a job at the gym, and we hired her. So I developed a friendship with her, and then from there developed a friendship with Phil, and then from then on it just grew. Because I went to all his fights, from Madison Square Garden to smaller arenas to kickboxing, and then from there I just short support.
Okay. Well, that's a clean story.
Yeah, so, and that's another example of connections.
Right.
Because if I would have never connected with his girlfriend back in the day, I would have never approached him, to say.
Right.
Because he didn't show up as often. He would show up maybe once in a blue moon. Because he has other gyms. He has other gyms that were more prone to fighting, like Tiger Schulman's, I believe he was at one point. I know he was somewhere else, but I forgot where. Oh, in the city, he used to train jiu-jitsu in the city. So chances of me running into him again were slim. But now that his girlfriend was working with a UFC gym back in Edgewater in New Jersey, that's where I made more of a connection. And basically from there, kicked off from that connection led to another connection, which leads to another connection. And then that's about it.
Boy, I'm impressed. Anthony, this is Wayne. Very, very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Happy Labor Day to you. And I'll tell you what, I've been in the direct sales business my entire career. And so I'm 26 years old. Direct sales business is really good. It doesn't age you at all. So, but anyway, no, I'm kidding. But it's funny listening to your story. And just like last week, you know, you've it's relationship building.
Yep.
That brought you where you are. It's your sincerity. You've got that sincerity just kind of comes off of you. And then it's your passion.
Exactly. And
you said that in the beginning. I'm going to tell you, that is a key factor, I think, in anyone that has achieved or is on their way to achieving great success. And that passion, that dedication, it's like you said, you were there from 4 to 10.
Yeah.
Dang, that's six. Man alive, you know, every... Heck, you saw two or three crowds come in that period.
Yeah, I saw. So
that passion, dedication, drive. Yeah, I tell you what, I've never had a gym trainer. You can tell by looking at me. But I you'd be the kind of guy that I would want kind of pushing me. But because I think you do it with, depending on the level, you would probably coach somebody differently. You have to read the people, don't
Yeah, of course. Everybody has different levels that they need to be trained at. It's not, I can't just go 0 to 100 with just one client. We start at the bottom. We start with the foundation and then build from there.
See, I just love that. I mean, it's, and before you got involved with that, I mean, you decided you were a little overweight, which most of us, mm-hmm. I am too, but so you went to the gym to, for your a selfish reason, you wanted to get in shape and work some stuff off. You're in that age where, you know, the girls kind of they talk about dad bods, but they like that ripped one too. Anyway, you've got you started there, but then you saw more. And that's just interesting. You've never, how long have you been involved with this? When did you first go to the gym?
Went to the gym probably, I want to say like 10 years ago.
So 11 years ago, you probably never would have had a dream that you would be where you are today in the field that you're in today.
Yeah, absolutely not. When I started 10 years ago, I started with my cousins. Like, we went to fitness dumbbells without the idea of what form was. Like, we did, I was doing chest presses, but was I doing them correctly? I had no idea, to be honest. Back in the day, I was what, like probably like 18? Yeah, 18, 10 years ago, 18. So I had no idea what I was doing. I just went there, followed my cousin's instructions, and that was that. But then I figured out that if I'm working by myself on my own, I didn't like training with others if I'm training by myself. I just feel like it's so whenever I went with my cousins, right, they would waste time taking too long breaks, talking to each other, talking to other people, this and that. And this was before social media blew up on any phone. So they would waste time just talking amongst themselves. And I just wanted to get into the gym, do my workout, get out. So I didn't like that forever since then. If I'm going to go train myself, I go by myself. I go by myself to the gym. I lift my weights. I bang out the workout in about an hour and a half. And that's that. I motivate myself. Like, other people go with others to train because it motivates them. But I feel like I just motivate myself the best. I don't really need a gym partner. But then at the same time, as I started training more and more, I realized that it's good to have another trainer. It's good to have somebody to motivate you. And that's why I decided to train private clients, because I knew some people just lose motivation to go to the gym. So I was like, I don't want them to lose motivation, because I lost motivation at one point in life. And I was like, I can't have that. I can't let other people feel like they can't go to the gym only because they're not motivated. So I like to bring people in.
That's me. But Melvin, I'm just being honest here, but I want to, you've raised so many things. And Bruce, I'm sorry to jump in here.
Go ahead.
When you talked about your cousins and, you know, they were talking and, you know, maybe having a glass of water and checking everybody else out. And, but you had a goal already. Then once you started going, it sounds like, even if you didn't understand, you know, the proper reps or whatever you want to call it, but you had a goal and then you got into that.
Yeah,
my son's kind of like, how old are you?
Right now, 28.
Oh man, I'm telling you, you got the world in a jug and the stopper in your hand. Man, alive, that is awesome. I just love to see young people like you doing what you're doing, and I hope I get to meet you sometime in the future, because move over here to Texas and let's go to the gym.
Wayne's gonna come with me to a fight soon, and. And we'll all, I'm sure we'll get to meet at some point next time, you know, Anthony and Phil roll south. He's going to the Madison Square Garden fight. You know what? That's maybe something we do, Wayne. We'll take a look at that. Are you going to the Madison Square Garden fight? Or you're not sure yet? Dang, he kind of froze there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But he'll come back. But that's good stuff, man.
I'll tell you, it's amazing that the connection that all of it has, the coaching that what a coach has to have to coach, and what the person being coached has to have to be able to be coached.
Right.
You have to have the willingness.
I'm sure he'll be back in a second.
Yeah, he'll be back. I hate to go back to. I watched so many of them yesterday, but I think it was John Maxwell that said that's one of the keys, is you have to be willing to learn. You have to be willing to humble yourself to take direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm sure that's what the fellow last week and then Anthony this week, that's what they have when they have their clients. They have to be humble enough to be willing to take direction. Otherwise, Anthony or these coaches, they don't have time for
him. Right, right.
So it's just cool. Bruce, I'm getting an education. Or as George would say, I'm getting an edumacation here.
Yeah, man, I say that a lot myself. Now, real interesting. I mean, so four of us went out in Arizona. We went out after the weigh-ins and got to meet and greet. Had some gastro pub type of food and stuff like that. Spectators for a fight, you know, to pictures and everything. And And Anthony was just as quiet as could be, Wayne. I mean, quiet as could be. And so I really had to, you know, kind of stop everybody from talking. Hey, buddy, let's tell me about yourself. You know what I mean? So he was just super shy, super quiet. You know what I mean? And so it's really, I was going to ask him about, has he kind of made a transformation, which I'm sure he has, now that he has coaching clients and 10 plus years in gym work, has that transformed his personality a little bit? You know, not to be maybe just a little bit more extroverted, you know what I mean? Not.
It does. It does. I mean, I was very introverted. You know, John Maxwell said the number one fear that people have is public speaking. Mm-hmm. The number two fear is death.
Yeah. Third is the dentist, right?
Yeah.
But that's true. So yeah, I mean, I think you know, getting and the fact that UFC has these other offshoots, right? They have a UFC gym, and now they have UFC Fit. I know Anthony, I was talking to Anthony before the show about UFC Fit. He said he really wasn't familiar with that. That could be more of a zoned marketing play. They just built one off of 820 and Roofs.
Oh, okay.
Next to the Walmart. Used to be, I think it was a Hobby Lobby or something like that at one point. There he is.
Hey, there he is.
We were talking.
Sorry. We were talking about you.
We're talking trash about you, man. Thank God. All right.
My son works up in your area. He travels up there very often. And I've been up there with him a time or two and stayed in New Jersey and then New York. And one thing I'll tell you what, Anthony, if I lived up there, I'd have to go to the gym because there's too much good food up there.
Oh, yeah. The food is amazing.
Oh.
It's like a melting pot over here because we have everything. Yeah. Yep. You got Latin, any kind of Latin you want. You got Mexican, you got Ecuadorian, you got Colombian, yep. Cuban, Venezuelan. So you have any Spanish food you want. And then if you want, like, I don't know, let's say like Asian food, you have Japanese, you have Korean, you have Vietnamese. So you have everything you want.
Everything. And it is good. But then you got your standard good old New Jersey, New York. You got some good, the best Italian food, hot dogs. The pie, you know, alive.
Yeah. That's how over here.
Your ears must have been burning because Bruce and I were bragging about you between us. I know a guy, I've met him, I guess, but I don't know him. He's not a friend. But his name is John Maxwell. And he talks about leadership. So you might want to listen to him sometime, look him up. He's really good. But he talks about, he said that Bruce was talking about how quiet you were, but you're more outgoing now. So Bruce, I'm telling on you, but John Maxwell said the number one fear that all of us have is public speaking. And the number two fear is death. So it's a pretty big fear. But I'm telling you what, the way you've explained your passion and the way you talk about coaching, John Maxwell was saying that we have to humble ourselves, be coached, because we have to be willing to take direction. If you're not willing, you as a coach don't have a lot of time to spend with someone that's just wishy-washy, kind of like your cousins were in the gym. You know,
yeah.
You move on to bigger things. So,
were your cousins like the situation, like Jersey Shore?
I mean, they've gotten better. Gotten big, they've gotten muscular. Everybody has their own way of doing things. Everybody has training, and that's the way they like to train. And I mean, I feel like everybody these days has their own way. Like, for example, I have friends or coworkers at my gym that like to train with other people, and I just can't do that. I have to train by myself. I have to put my headphones on, during that training session I do with myself, I think about a lot of things. I think about how I can grow. I think about who I can reach out to. I think about my future. I need that time for myself to think for myself. I don't have
a real left field question. What are your goals 5 years from now?
Yeah, I was gonna say
5 years from now, I have two. See, the thing is that if I stick with training, right, with personal training, training clients, my goal is to open up a gym solely just for that. Okay. But my field of study is actually criminal justice.
Really?
I actually got my master's degree in criminal justice.
No wonder you like this guy, Bruce.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
my nephew has a BS in bachelor in criminal justice. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I go down that path, my goal is to work for a federal agency, whether it's DEA, U.S. Marshals, FBI. Cool. I would like to go down that path, whether it's a special agent or an intelligence specialist or investigative analyst, anything from that sort. Oh. I would like to get into.
Awesome.
Like, I remember I had a couple months ago. This was actually, I think, before I met Bruce and all that. I had an interview, a panel interview with the DEA. And oh my God, that interview was the toughest interview I've ever had in my life. I think one of the reasons I'm better at speaking with people, let's say like on camera with you guys or just in general, because they really dig into you, not only in like questions wise, but in their demeanor. They're not there to play. They're not there with smiles. They're there to ask you a question and that's it. They want to hear from you and that's it. They don't want anything else besides to get through the interview and that's it.
Holy cow.
It was a very tough panel interview.
That'd be stressful.
Which, yeah. By the way, I think the Bureau of Prisons is shutting down that Manhattan MCC where Jeffrey Epstein was. I think they're going to close it.
Really?
Yeah, for temporarily. I think they're just going to kind of do a do-over. But I'll email you some other stuff, Anthony, on that, because inside those prisons, they have special investigative agents and all other, you know. And it's still the Justice Department. It's the same branch as the FBI and the DEA, FBI, and Marshals. It's the same, you know. It's the Justice Department. So, I'll make sure I connect with you on some of the leads that just happened last week. Anyhow, so yeah, that's good though, right? Because you have the two passions, and in law enforcement, you got to be fit, particularly if you're in the field.
Yeah, exactly. So those are my two passions. I have plans to which one I want. It just depends on if the path of the criminal justice and the DA or U.S. Marshals lets my foot in the door first.
And you know what? You can do both. For many years, I had my practice on the side. I would just sign waivers with the command, you know, and get the waiver signed, make sure there was no conflict of interest. And as long as it didn't take away from my day job, they're fine with it, you know, because they want to keep quality people and they understand that people leave and they want to keep good people. So they, you know, so it's not, you're not necessarily relegated to one channel or another. You could still do both. So
speaking of gym and training and stuff, when I was a lot younger, I was about your age, Anthony, and I, a law enforcement guy that was a good friend of mine. Matter of fact, I was into that when I was really young. I did some of that, and his name was Carl May. His nickname was Punk, and he could bench press at that time 425. So, and he was, but he didn't look it. You know what I mean? But yeah. He was built, but he didn't look it. So we had the. They didn't have gyms in. They had what they called a spa. So I joined the spa and we played racquetball and they had weights and they had different things. Well, Punk got me in the weight room. Now I'm dumber than a box of rocks. It's like you said, you didn't understand what reps were and weight and all this kind of stuff. Well, so Punk gets me in there, and he knew what he was doing. So he had me do small, and then he had me do more, and then he had me do reps, and then he had me do all these different series and all this. And I'm just doing it like he said, man, I'm doing all this stuff. And the next morning, I couldn't touch. This is as far as my hands would go to my head. I couldn't wash my hair. I couldn't comb my hair. They wouldn't go there.
Yeah, that happens.
He pumped me, and he knew what. He just died laughing. So I learned that right away. Don't listen to Punk me.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
So, Anthony, do you think that over the years, like you said, like you learned from the DEA interview, do you think over the years working with clients that you've learned to be a little bit more extroverted, but extroverted when you need to be type of thing? Has it transformed your personality a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not even with just that interview. I've had a bunch of interviews, but not only with the interview process, but also with the coaching process of when I did the kickboxing classes, boxing conditioning classes. It's you need an assertive, loud trainer. You can't have a trainer that's very timid. You can't have a trainer that is not charismatic, because these people are there to get coached, to get trained, to train hard. They're not there just for an easy workout. So you have to build an attitude that's like, oh, okay, this guy means no business, no fun. He means it's all business for him. So that's the type of character I had to develop. And throughout the 7 years, I pretty much, I wouldn't say perfected, because to me, that's a big word. Not everybody can perfect something in just 7 years. It takes more. You know what I mean? Just like if you're doing jiu-jitsu, it takes about 10 years on average to get a black belt. So I haven't perfected it yet. I am a little bit shy at times, especially when meeting new people. And the reason for that is not because I can't speak. It's just because I like to observe first. I like to see what the person is bringing to the table. I like to see how they talk or what are they about. And then it lets me better understand how to exert myself.
That's good.
Yeah. And then from there, I've gotten more extroverted, it's easier to talk to people now.
Okay. I was going to ask you, on your private coaching side, you said you've made a lot of connections. You know, I'm assuming now you're fairly known quantity in the coaching sphere up there where you're at. Do you find yourself having to employ business or sales techniques to kind of close deals or to close, you know, like when you do a coaching contract with somebody, is it a minimum of 3 months? What are some of those business things that you have to employ to keep it going?
One thing that separates me from, I would say, other trainers in gyms is that I do the private training and the sales part of the job. Other people, other trainers, I wouldn't say every other trainer, but there are some trainers, if you go into like an LA Fitness, 24-Hour Fitness, or any other gym, basically, and where they give the free session. They give a free session to their client, and then they hand them over to the front desk for the sale, okay? But for me, I don't do that. I give them the session and then I sell myself. I sell myself through the workout. I sell myself through what I can provide to them. And I'm the salesman to my own training. Nobody else can. They can sell it, but can't sell it as well as me. I don't think so, just because I know what I can give them. And me telling them what they're going to expect is way better than a front desk person telling them. And that's how I've been since day one, pretty much. I've gotten my own clients. I've done my own advertising, my own marketing, my own referral system. It's not that I don't need the front desk to help. It's just that I feel more comfortable and better when I make the sale.
Okay.
So I think that's one of the aspects in where I've grown too, because I've
Sound went out.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I got you.
So yeah, that's an experience, and that's another skill I've learned throughout the years. Sales, communicate.
Is there a differentiation between selling your services and making the closing it? Dang, your sound's out. I think your sound's out, or my sound is out. I don't know. Oh, maybe, never mind. Could be my connection.
Yeah, I can see you, Anthony, but I just can't hear you. You're moving fine. Your camera's great. Just the audio kind of, oh, now the auto freezes up. The wonderful age of, oh, now everybody's gone. I'm all alone, Sam.
All right.
He just logged off, I think, and is going to log back on too.
Okay, good.
I could hear you. I could hear him. I mean, I couldn't hear him. I could see him.
Did he?
But no audio.
Did he differentiate between the sale and the close?
Yep.
Oh, dang. I missed it.
Well, he was starting on it. He didn't get it all. It just, then it went.
Yeah. Okay. We're back again.
There he is. Now they differentiate. Yes.
So,
oh, man.
Can we, I know, appreciate your patience. I was asking about differentiating between selling and then making the close, if there's some sort of a differentiation point for you in that regard.
What do you mean, like in an attitude wise and like a...
Just strategy wise when you're acquiring a new client, the free session, you're selling during the session, but at some point you're kind of closing the deal. Kind of, maybe.
I think, like I said, one of the things that differentiates me from others is that I feel like I can sell naturally. I don't, like, I give them the free session. I talk to them throughout the session. We work out. I give them an intense workout. Then at the end of the session, I just give it to them straight. I tell them the prices. I ask them, how many times a week do you guys want to train? What is your budget roughly? Because we could work around it sometimes. Sometimes we can't, but sometimes we can. So we just work around that a bit. And then from there, it's just as simple from them as a yes or no. If they say no, I ask them, why can't you guys train? Is it a time reason? Is it a money reason? Is it you got to go ask your wife or something? Or... one of those three reasons. And if it's a money reason, I try to budget with them. If it's a time reason, I try to work with them on a certain time. They can't train, I don't know, let's say 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm like, all right, I'm available 5 a.m. for you. I'm available 6 a.m. for you.
Right.
If it's, I got to ask my wife or husband, I'm like, okay, go ask your wife and husband. I'm going to reach out to you tomorrow. And then from there, that's that from the point of like excuses, but usually they buy something at the end of the day. At the end of the training session, they buy something, whether it's 4 sessions, 8 sessions, 16 sessions, 30 sessions, they leave with something. And okay. I don't, yeah. So it's more of a natural flow. It's more of a conversation piece. I don't try to burn them with like, you got to buy, you have to buy, I need you to buy, do this, do that. It's like, listen, I showed you my value. I gave you the price. And if you want to do it, we can. And there's a problem. And where you can't do it, we can try to find a solution to it.
See, that's perfect.
That sounds good. It sounds like you have some ways of overcoming certain objections, like you said, asking somebody at the time and then the budget and the finances. So it sounds like you got a pretty solid core of, and like you said, you're willing to go down a four session package, pretty good, you know.
Yeah,
starter package.
That's that's a good presentation, Anthony. That's what we do. I mean, that's sales. That's sales 101. So that's awesome. I'd hate to be sitting across. I know that. Well, I would be easy because you have a product, that is valuable, and it's something everybody could use. I mean, seriously, yeah. It is. I mean, everybody could use. That's all we hear about, you know. I mean, and at my age, the doctor said you need to walk more, you need to do some weights, you need to do this. So my doctor's telling me all this stuff. So it, you know, they tell you to go out there and get some things going on. But let me. I got another. This way out there, but average, and for the listeners too. But to get a coach, if I'm going to a gym and I'm looking for a coach, what's my average investment going to be? And I like to call it an investment, not a cost, because I'm going to get a lot out of it.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because I forgot where I heard it. I can't say right now where I heard it, but I heard somebody say, if you're going to sell yourself, you're selling a service, such as like personal training, you shouldn't call it, you should always refer to it as an investment.
Yes.
Because it's an investment to yourself, to your body, and to your health, to your mind and all that. It's not just, I'm buying, I don't know, let's say a Gucci bag or some brand item that you don't really need, you know what I mean? Because you could buy another bag and it holds the same amount of products than the Gucci bag does. It's just a brand name. So yeah, it's more about, are you willing to make that investment? And that depends, the pricing depends on the demographics of where I am. And I guess, see, my gym has a set amount of prices per session. But sometimes I differentiate, because sometimes I have clients that come from, let's say, Edgewater. Edgewater, New Jersey, is a more affluent area than the area my gym is in. So I like to adjust the price sometimes when it's my own personal training rather than the gym's. So
you mentioned that sometimes you get guys that, you know, let's say you take a guy and you're going through the different investments he could choose, and you're building your value and you're building price and you're doing those things. And they, you should be, have to ask your wife, or, you know, you go through some of these things. There's something that we used to always say, that, and I learned this in, believe it or not, I have to give the credit, the Filipino market. They say, I've got asthma. I can't do that because I have asthma. Well, you do. Yes, I have to ask my wife. So that's their asthma. Asthma wife. That, there you go. I was going to say that was a joke. That was a joke.
That's a good one. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. I got asthma. I have to ask my wife. But anyway.
So you're saying the gym has prices and then you have prices.
Correct. So they don't differentiate that much, but we do have kind of like separate pricing. Just because if I do go through the gym, they do have a certain cut. It's not that much, but it is a certain cut that they get. But if I get a client from the outside and I bring them in, then it's kind of better for me profit-wise. Sure. But basically, every gym is different, just because, let's say if you go to New York City, right, and you go to like a, what's some of the gyms they have?
Lifetime,
Equinox, like those kinds of gyms.
LA Fitness.
You can easily get a trainer, and their sessions are about $200 per session. $200 for 1 hour of just training. Same thing if you go to Miami, or any city. If you go to, like, I'm sure Dallas has top tier trainers, and where they charge like $200 an hour.
Right.
So you could go to them, and they charge that amount, and that's fine. That's their price. But it's up to you to determine if that's. Is it of value to you? Is it the right investment for you? But yeah, every trainer is different. My prices are not that high. They're not at the 200 level. It could range anywhere from, maybe I would say the lowest I would go, maybe like $60.
That's the lowest. Awesome. But you know, good things aren't cheap, and cheap things aren't good.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like for example, the $60, it's a price I would probably offer like maybe like a high school student or a college student. Like, I know they're not working any full-time jobs or any high paying salary job, so I try to work with them, because I know they cannot afford $60 a session every single day. So I try to work with them. Okay, let's buy a 10-pack for $500, which comes out to $50 a session. But I try to work with who I'm training.
Yeah.
Just because everybody deserves to train somehow. And if they really want to train, they really want to put the passion into it, I'll help them out. I'm not just going to kick somebody to the curb just because they don't have the money for it. If they show me they want to train and they're willing to do it, I'll work with you on the price. It's not a big deal.
It's awesome. I'm so happy that we've met here. I look forward to seeing you again. I appreciate everything. Man, it's amazing. Thanks, Bruce.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that business journey is really something because, like you said, it's I think there's a lot more flexibility when you can get your own clients and not get them through the gym. Like exactly. You said, he's got a couple of different geographic areas to go from. So I think that's really good. So, what else? And we got about 3.5 minutes. What else, Anthony, do you think people who are thinking about going into the training business or coaching business like you're doing, what are a couple of things you think they should know?
I think they should know that it's not, you need to put your time into it. You can't just go there and expect to be there from, I don't know, let's say 3 p.m., 4 p.m. until 6 p.m., right? That's, even though it's a peak hour, you can't just go there and expect to get a client out of that. You have to put in the time in there. You have to spend 6 hours, 7 hours a day, mornings, nights, and get to know the people that go in the gym, go outside the gym, talk to people, see what their goals are, what are they looking for, and seek them out. Because they're not gonna come to you, they're not gonna come for you. They're not there. They're there to work out, but they don't exactly know what they want unless you show it to them. You have to show your value to them. But my number one tip is just show up, be at the gym, talk to people, communicate with them, see what they do, see what they want, and ask them, how do you want to invest your time? How do you want to invest your money? Is health important to you? Is your mental health important to you? And just to train, I'll give you a free session. Let's work out. Let's see where your physical ability is. And we'll go from there. I mean, because there's so many trainers out there. But the thing is that a lot of these trainers just put a price to their name and that's it. Yep. They don't actually put any value in them. Price is very arbitrary. Anybody can set a price. I could set a price for $50 and that's it. But what is the value I'm bringing to you?
Exactly.
Like I had a client that actually I recently saw. An ex-client went to another trainer. I'm like, okay, that's great. Went to another trainer. That's fine. But come to find out is that the reason they went to another trainer is because the price was it was cheaper than mine. Okay. I was like, that's great. Go to the other trainer. Enjoy your $20 per session you're saving. Enjoy that price that he made up. But what is the value that guy brings? What is the experience that guy brings? Like, I know he hasn't trained with any MMA fighters. I know he hasn't trained with any UFC fighters. I know the training he's gotten is just probably a basic online course, and that's it. But what is the experience that trainer has gone through? Like, I've gone through so many individuals who, from amateur fighters to professional fighters, that taught me so many things that's where my value is. I take bits of everything that everybody has taught me and make it my own. Because I know that guy doesn't know Phil Hawes. Like, I know he doesn't train with him or has trained with him or Phil has ever given him an advice. But for me, I've gotten that advice. I've trained with him. I've wrestled with him a couple of times and he's like, beat me up. But I've learned from him. Like, exactly. I learned exactly what I need to do to become a better trainer and bring value to my my training, my brand, if you would say.
All right, brother. Well, man, we are out of time here. We got about 20, 30 seconds. So, Anthony, thanks for coming on the show today, man.
Anytime.
on a roll now toward the end, brother. But
tell
our listeners and viewers how they can reach you.
They can reach me through my Instagram. It's at underscore Coach Anthony. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. From that, I mean, unless they're in Jersey, come to East Rutherford, UFC gym East Rutherford. If you're not in Jersey and you want me to go train you, I mean, if the price is right, I'll go. But basically, you can find me at my Instagram is the best way. Instagram at underscore Coach Anthony. That's pretty much it.
Okay. All right, then. Well, it was another – thank you for sharing that. It was another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. We'll see you here next time. You can access us at our social media on Concierge on Instagram, the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook, on Apple Podcasts. So at the Concierge Coaches Show. Again, Anthony, thanks for coming in on the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Hopefully we'll see you soon, brother. Take care.
Bye.
Holiday, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.